This last week, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. A companion of fools suffers harm. And this morning, I'm going to encourage you to listen, to take notes, to write down these scripture passages, to write down these themes, because I'm going to give you this morning 12 traits of wise people and 12 traits of foolish people. If you have a phone, you have a capacity to take notes. If you have a piece of paper and a pencil or a lipstick stick, whatever you use, you have the capacity to take notes. If you can hear me, you have the capacity to understand and to record what I'm saying. If you want to just listen, I encourage you, go to the podcast this week and eat it up. Make your own notes, because this morning is going to be an opportunity for you to assess a couple of things. You can look at this and apply it to the circle of people around you and hold up these 12 traits of wise and these 12 traits of foolishness and determine, am I surrounding myself with wise people or foolish people? You can hold it up and read it looking in the mirror and go, am I a wise person or am I a foolish person? We can use it to really assess ourselves. James says that if we look at God's word and we don't apply it, we're fools. And this passage, walk with the wise and become wise, should draw us onwards. Because I doubt there are many of us that would sit here this morning and go, you know what? I'm actually pretty content being a fool. I'm actually pretty content heading towards ruin. Most of us would say, I want to be wise. I want understanding. I want to live a prudent life. But the first thing to realize is this, that the images in this, one is active and one is complacent. The first thing to realize in this passage, one of these themes is active. It's walking. It is step after step, decision after decision. You realize that to take a step, to walk, is a fully engaged decision of your mind, body, will, everything. Somehow in your mind you go, I want to get from here to there, and your body just starts to go, step after step after step. I love Eugene's interpretation of this passage, because where it says the companion of fools suffers harm, Eugene says this, when you hang out. And the image is this, you're walking, is you are pursuing, you have a destination and you are getting there. And the other image is this, it's just apathetic, complacent, no drive, no desire, just hanging. And the first question is this, where are we in life? Are we just content? Because content moves to complacency, moves to apathy, moves to ruin. Or are we willingly going, I want to move from where I am and I want to get there. Surround yourself with wise people. Walk with them. It's never going to be enough to just even come to this meeting once a week and listen to someone talk. Never going to be enough. It's what are we doing with it? Do we apply it when we go home? It's choice versus natural or default position. As I said, wisdom is not just knowledge. It's the right or prudent application of that knowledge. So lean in. Get your pencil out, your pen out, your app out, your notes pad out, your whatever you're using, and take down these things. I go back to Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. And we are told there that this entire writing, this entire record of Proverbs here is useful for these four things: to attain wisdom and discipline, or to attain wisdom and controlled behavior. Discipline. Understanding words of insight. Thirdly, acquiring a disciplined and orderly or right life, a prudent life. And fourthly, for doing what is right and just and fair. And the four parts of the book of Proverbs, which is wisdom, is this: attaining, understanding, disciplining, and doing. Let me say them again. The Proverbs that we are reading through this entire month are for attaining wisdom, for understanding what it's saying, for disciplining ourselves towards a prudent life, and fourthly, doing it. Not just listening, not just inquiring, not just positioning, but fourthly, doing it. Engaging it, step after step, building precept upon precept. I'll go back to Eugene's interpretation of these first verses. It says, these things are written down so we will know how to live well and right. We'll understand what life means and where it's going. These words are like a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair. It's to teach the inexperienced the ropes, to give our young people a grasp on reality. But there's something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn. Fresh wisdom to probe, to penetrate the rhymes, the reasons of wise men and women. I love that. You know, so often we're like, man, you know, our young folk need to learn wisdom. What Proverbs says here, Solomon, he goes, man, I got some stuff for the seasoned vets. I got some stuff for the silverbacks, the silverheads. I got some stuff here that it would do all of us good to take a hold of. And so there's no one here this morning that has any reason to not engage this. No one who shouldn't be assessing this morning the neglect of the application is what lets our own life fall to ruin. We might say, why? You know, why? Why pursue wisdom? Why keep going? Can't I have enough? Well, when I read Proverbs 1, chapter, and chapter 2, and chapter 3, and chapter 4, I look at all these promises of wisdom. And I realize that in my life, all these fruits of wisdom aren't yet there. So I would say this, then I need probably more application of wisdom, more understanding of wisdom, more practice of wisdom. I can't blame anything else. You start reading through chapter 2. Says, if you'll turn your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if you'll call out for insight, cry aloud, if you look for it like silver or like hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord. Then you'll find the knowledge of God. Then you'll know protection. Then you'll know what it is to walk in goodness. You will find that wisdom will enter your heart. It'll become pleasant to your soul. Verse 12, wisdom will save you from the ways of the wicked. It'll save you from men whose words are perverse. You go on, it says, it'll save you from adultery. It'll save you from wayward people. It'll save you. It'll keep you blameless. It goes on, it says, it will prolong your life. It will bring you prosperity. People often think, you know, well, I've said I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm praying. I'm attending church. I should be walking in prosperity. The Bible never teaches that. There is so much more in the Scriptures. It's not just this thing that just happens. I say, God pay. That's the way we approach this thing of prosperity. Read Proverbs. Be diligent. Be wise. Set your heart to knowledge, to understanding. Be humble. Honor other people. Save money. Work hard. Wisdom. And the fruits of wisdom is, well, it says prosperity. There's order. You go on, it says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Shun evil. Health to your body. Nourishment to your bones. Honor God with your wealth, first fruits of your crop. Then your barns will be filled and overflowing. Don't despise discipline. It just goes on and it says how profitable it is, how tasty it is, the favor that you get with people and with God, and all of it from what? Wisdom. And I don't think any of us would say, yeah, I've arrived, I'm there, I've got all that. So what I want to do, based on this scripture that we were thinking on all this week, those who walk with the wise become wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. I back it up with Proverbs 14:12, which says this: there is a way that seems right unto mankind, but the end of it is destruction. You go back to Genesis. God says, do it my way. And mankind says, nah, we're going to do it our way. God says, you do it your way, you will end in destruction. And still, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of knowledge, the application of that understanding, wisdom. So how do we identify these wise people to walk with? I'm going to move quite quickly. I'm going to give you a passage and then a title. A passage and a title, and it's going to be up to you to dig into it deeper. But here you have 12 traits of wise people. Ready? Really? You're ready? Okay, some of you look like you're geared up to have a good memory. All right? You look like you're geared up to have a good memory. I hope you're right. First one, Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 5. A wise person is also a pursuer of wisdom. A listener, a seeker, admits they don't know it all, that there is more to learn, that they are not perfected yet, that they have not arrived, that they are not settled, that their desire is to know more and to change more and to be more. A wise person, according to Proverbs 1:5, is a pursuer of wisdom. They are not a sage. They are not a guru who's planted themselves on a top of a mountain that just sit there to divulge what they have already arrived at. That is not a wise person. A wise person is a person who is still actively pursuing wisdom. Don't go to someone because they seem like they know it all. I would say that person is not a wise person. Someone who humbly admits that maybe they don't know it all yet, but they are still pursuing wisdom, is a wise person. Secondly, Proverbs 10, verse 5 says that a wise person is a hard worker. Lazy hands make a man poor. Diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps during harvest, disgraceful. A hard worker. We had some kids in a youth program that we used to, you know, to run, and you know, these kids had obviously very little care at home. Always disheveled, always in, you know, just unkempt state. Teeth decaying. And we're in a fairly affluent area. This was not, you know, a part of town that I'd expect that. So I took interest. I wanted to know, do these kids really need help? Something looks amiss here. And the more I got to know them, I began to find out about their parents. And I was like, where, you know, I hear that their parents are Christians. And I'm like, well, what church do they go to? Because they're not part of our church. I see they drop you off and then, you know, then go. Oh, no, Dad's a really spiritual man. Dad's a really godly man. Where do they go to church? Well, they don't. Well, what do you mean? What's godliness look like? Oh, man, my dad just waits on God. He's waiting to hear God. Well, how long's that been going on? Does your dad work? Oh, no. No, Dad doesn't work. Dad just waits to hear God. How long? Oh, Dad's never worked. He's never worked. You are disheveled, your teeth in decay, your life falling apart, and he's waiting to hear God? A man who totes wisdom, who totes godliness, who does nothing to build into his family, into the care of his family, who is not diligent, who is not constructive, who is not a hard worker, is not a wise man and is not a God-fearing man. You can't have these excuses about godliness and not live a way that is pursuing godly instruction. How can we say, you know, we're godly fathers or godly men and we don't even care less about basic needs of people? We're in conflict with ourselves. So secondly, man, I could preach on every one of these themes, but secondly, a wise person is a diligent person or a hard worker. Proverbs 10, verse 8, the third theme or the third trait of a wise person is someone who receives commands or instruction well. Someone who takes instruction, who takes wise instruction on board and responds rightly to it. Proverbs 10:8, the wise in heart accept commands. Fourthly, Proverbs 10:14, a wise person has an interest in knowledge. A wise person pursues knowledge, pursues understanding. Wants to just know more than the what, though. A wise person with an interest in knowledge wants to go to the how and the why, wants to really understand. But not just for their own benefit. Proverbs 15:7 goes on to say this, a wise person shares that knowledge. I've met people that their knowledge, their field of expertise just makes them completely aloof to anyone around them. That's not a wise person that has attained such knowledge that they live on a plateau that is so far above you that you just wouldn't understand. That's not a wise person. Proverbs says a wise person is someone who, man, if they get something that you don't get, they will give it to you. They'll encourage you in it. They will want to draw you into it, not distance themselves from you because, well, you see, I get it and you don't. That's not wise. Don't chase after people who are puffed up with knowledge. Surround yourself with people that when they have that understanding, that knowledge, they want you to get it. The fifth one, Proverbs 10, 19, and then chapter 12, verse 18. A wise person controls their mouth. Doesn't just run words off without thinking. Isn't always just quick with an answer, quick with a quip, quick with a tear down before they've even realized what they've done. James warns us this, that the tongue can start a raging fire. A raging fire that in this land we've seen time and time and time again. And we fear them because of the destructive nature of them. A wise person controls his mouth. Proverbs is full of it. Control your lips, control your tongue, control your mouth, guard your words. A wise person I encourage you, take these things and look at yourself. Sixth, Proverbs 11, verse 2. A wise person is a humble person. A person who lifts others up, lives for the benefit of others, lets others go ahead, does not just parade themselves. The next one, Proverbs 11:30, and this is a very interesting little verse that's tucked away in the middle of Proverbs. It says, the fruit of a righteous person is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is a wise person. And when I read that, what I would say a trait of a wise person is this, that they recognize that life is not just about the here and the now. A wise person recognizes that we are created by a God who loves us and desires us and draws us to know Him and provides the way for us to know Him and grabs a hold of it ourselves and leads other people to it. That we care more than just their mental, physical, emotional well-being. We care for their eternal soul. A wise person does not just take a hold of Jesus and then never share it with anyone. That's actually very selfish. A wise person cares about the souls, the eternal state of others. Number eight. A wise person in Proverbs 12:15, again in Proverbs 13:10, listens to counsel. Listens to the counsel of those around them. If you don't know something, you know, I just have this simple rule. If I am in doubt, I don't. If I'm in doubt, I don't. Don't just do something rashly. Don't just act on something rashly. Approach it with wisdom. Get some counsel around you. If it doesn't sit at peace with you, keep asking until you come to a place of peace. Don't act on something just out of this spontaneity. I just got to do something. I might as well just do that. No, a wise person seeks counsel. Listens to those who have gone before, listens to the wise that they have gathered around them. And the next one that I believe follows closely, Proverbs 13:1, honors or listens to their father's instruction, honors their parents. There's so much in the Proverbs about honoring your parents. And I hear people say, I've got nothing to honor my parents for. Well, let me tell you one thing. if there's nothing else you can think of, you would not even have a shot at life except for your parents. And if it is only one thing that you can honor them for, it's that they gave you a chance to live life wisely. Honor your parents in whatever way you can. And if your parents have failed you, neglected you, abandoned you, then find some people that love you with a father's heart, that love you with a mother's heart, that will embrace you, that will encourage you, that will protect you, and allow them that role in your life. The next one, Proverbs 14:8, number 10. A wise person thinks before they act. They don't just behave rashly. Don't just do it because it seems good. They think before they act. Number 11, Proverbs 14:16, they avoid evil. Avoid evil. We're doing this young marrieds class, and it's been wonderful, man. We've just got some great young couples around this place. But two of the greatest areas that people fall prey to in evil are to do with two key areas: sexual desire and material desire. And if you want to look at the Proverbs and read them and highlight things that deal with sexuality and relationships, and another color for all the things financial, you will find that the Proverbs address them with incredible regularity. And when I look at our world today, they are probably the two areas of greatest destruction across the face of this planet. Rampant, uncontrolled, unwise, ungodly sexuality. And rampant, uncontrolled, unwise, ungodly use and handling of money. And these are things like when it talks about avoiding it, it means get away from it. It's incredible how much destruction falls to people. I won't counsel people. People might come to me with one of these two areas. I won't take people on unless they put in place very strict guidelines to block them from what is causing them issue. Because we can't just go, oh yeah, you know, I want help, I want wisdom, I want to do better, and feed ourselves in these areas. The financial one is huge. I'm so glad we're doing CAPS. Because it's not that money is the root of evil, it's what? It's the love of it, the craving of it. There's nothing wrong with sex and sexuality. What goes wrong is when it rules us. And we so crave it that it runs every part of our mind and our behavior until it just becomes so sordid and so wasted, and we've seen the tragedy of the results of some of that recently. And we think we can dabble in evil and I'll be able to just get a little bit of a thrill from it, but it will own us. And a wise person avoids evil. Sets up boundaries, sets up guidelines. I told you I could preach a sermon on every one of these. Number 12, trait of a wise person: can take correction well. I remember when I was an apprentice, and I remember my first year apprenticeship, and we're in, you know, our tech classes. We used to call it tech in those days. And, you know, and I'm doing, you know, electrical and wiring, and I remember we'd be given these cubicles, and we'd have to, you know, all of our wires had to be in line and all of the terminations had to be terminated this certain way. And then our, you know, the master tradesman would would come around and they would check our work, and you'd sort of stand back and you'd look at it and think, man, that's pretty good. And they'd come and look at it, and they would go over your termination, and then they'd flick that with their little, you know, long nose pliers, and it would come off, and they're like, that's not good enough. And then they'd look at the wiring, and your little wire clamp would fall off the wall, and they're like, that's not good enough. I want you to tear that whole thing down and start again. How do you receive correction? I had some guys that I remember in that class that would just, as soon as the instructor or the tradesman had walked away, they would grab their wiring and they'd tear it down, and you could hear them throwing their tools around and kicking things, and, man, that guy never liked me, never, rah, rah, rah. It's like, what? We've submitted ourselves to these guys to learn, to be taught, to be instructed, and they're correcting us that we might be good. And what are we doing? We're going off like we know better? A wise person receives correction well. Now, there's so much in the Proverbs. I'm going to race through these. I want us to get the wise. You can identify fools pretty quickly. Here's your 12. The first, the trait of a fool. Proverbs 12:15, self-centered and self-justifying. It's about me. It's always about me. And you know, even in relationships, that where there's someone who's utterly self-centered. Second one, Proverbs 10:23 and 14:9, pursues evil and takes no account of sin. Is content in evil, content in sin. Will blame others, will blame the situation, will blame the world, will blame something. But pursues it, takes no account of sin. Thirdly, Proverbs 14:8 is deceitful, is sneaky, is always looking for the back way, the other way, the easier way, is always doing things underhandedly, doing things secretively. The fool, deceitful, sneaky. Proverbs, this is number 4 here. Proverbs 12:16. Quick-tempered, argumentative. This is also in chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Quick-tempered, argumentative. You know, people, they just explode. Everyone else is wrong. I'm always right. Fool. Blame it on their heritage. You don't understand. I can't help it. My dad's Irish. My mum's Italian. We're just like that. We just yell and scream and fight and argue, and I'm never wrong. Stop blaming. It's foolish. You don't know where I was raised. The streets were just like that. My neighborhood was just like that. No. Fifthly, Proverbs 9:13, 12:23, 18, 6, 7, so many other places, but I'll give you that first one. You can follow the rest up. Proverbs 9:13. A fool has no control over his mouth. Says whatever comes to mind, zero filter. Doesn't matter if it's offensive, I'm just going to say it. Doesn't matter if it's crude or cruel or anything else, I'm just going to say it. You're a fool. Following very quickly on that theme, number 6, Proverbs 10:18, slanders and lies. Slanders and lies. Speaks ill of others for their own benefit. Speaks wrongly about situations for their own benefit. And you'll see the connectedness of so many of these things. And it goes back to the foolish number one trait. You're self-centered. Next one, Proverbs 15:5. Doesn't like instruction. You ever try to get alongside someone, say something, and they're like, don't you tell me what to do. You're not my boss. It's foolish. At least listen. I've always heard it said, for every pound of criticism, there's an ounce of truth. I get criticized about all sorts of things, and I find many times I have to sit quietly before the Lord and just say, Lord, is there any part that's true to that? I realize I'm not perfect. Lord, is there any truth? I move on. Proverbs 17:25, disrespectful to parents. Will not honor parents, refuses to honor parents. I've had a beautiful experience with a young lady recently, and as I've listened to her story, my heart breaks for her, but I'm so moved by her integrity. She's been in and out of care and homes and institutions and facilities from the age of 3 to the age she is now. Abandoned, abused, used, neglected, everything that you could think of. And as we sat and talked, and I discovered more about her story, I said, what about your parents? Because I realized in this whole thing that from the age 3, there really wasn't much conversation about parents. And she said this, I'll tell you some of the facts, but I don't want to speak badly about my parents. I was just like stunned. Where people would love to go, I'll tell you what my dad did, and I'll tell you what my mom did, and they're worthless over. She said, I can tell you some facts, but I don't want to speak badly about my parents. What a starting place. Number 9, Proverbs 26:11. I'm moving quickly. Doesn't learn from error and even enjoys it. You go to Proverbs 26:11 and it says this, like a dog that returns to its vomit, so a fool to its folly. What a great image. I don't know if you've ever owned a dog. I've owned dogs, and I really like dogs. I love dogs. Like, I really love the dog that we have now. But it's so weird. He'll be like, and you can see his whole thing wrenching. We're like, get out, go. Runs down the backyard, chews some grass on the lawn. And he'll look at it and go, I don't know. It might be better a second time around. And they do that. And he comes back upstairs. I'm like, good boy. No, I like, sorry, Donna. The image of that. Like a dog that returns to its vomit, so a fool to his folly. We reject it, like we engage in something, everything in our spirit goes, that was bad. And we reject it. But then we look at it and go, well, it might be better the second time. That's the image. A fool. Doesn't learn from error and even enjoys it. Number 10, Proverbs 26:6, undependable. You ask them to do something, they don't follow through with it. I heard this said recently. Wives, when you ask your husband to do something, he'll do it. You don't need to remind him every 6 months. Man, if you're nudging your wife right now, stop it. They're undependable. Number 11, quickly, Proverbs 29:11-20. Fools are quick to give and unthought out opinions. Don't think it through, just spout it and then defend it. Number 12, Proverbs 27:22. A fool does not see the need to change. I am what I am. It is what it is. Too old to change. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Whatever, whatever. No, a fool sees no need to change. Can't change, won't change. You know, if we're entrenched, if we're standing our ground, if we've got a foot in an anchor and we're in a position that we know is wrong, but we're just going, it's my last line of defense. We're wrong. We're fools. James chapter 1, and I'll finish with this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. That's everyone. Human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. The foundation of all of this, Proverbs, is the wisdom of God. Jesus says this, the wise person builds their house, builds their home, builds their story on the rock. Jesus himself said that he was the rock. You want to walk in wise? Fear God. You want to walk in wisdom? Fear God. Heed him. Practice it. Let's stand together. Proverbs 13, verse 20. This was our memory verse from this last week. And it said this, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You know, I know for whatever reason, some of us just, we refuse to engage this. I'm not just being hard about it. Like even then, we just talk about the whole thing and I invite you, please, let's say this together. And I'm not being critical in this, but wait, when your arms are folded and you're just staring back at me, that's this position. And because I said that, you might choose not to come back next week. That's just a reality. Because it's too in your face and it's confronting. You know what? God's word will do that to us, but it's because he loves us too much to leave us in our foolishness. It's just how it is. And the reason that I feel so passionate about this is years ago, we realized how much we don't know God's word. And we began to read through the Bible and ask God, lead us in the truth of your word. And for 2 years, we read the whole thing. And last year, we slowed down and we read the Gospels and said, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And then we read the whole second part of the New Testament and went, what does it mean to live Jesus, to be a part of the church? And this year, we just nailed it down and went, what are key themes? And how do we anchor ourselves to those themes? By getting his word in our heads and in our hearts. My role as a pastor is as an encourager. A pastor is just another fancy word for a shepherd. A shepherd is a guy that cares about his sheep and, you know, if they're in a mess, goes to them, has to help them out or something, gets dirty with them to make it happen. It's a carer. And I do this because I care. And I want to encourage you, if you walk out of here and go, I don't need those memory verses, if you haven't picked them up, I'm going to say it and it's going to sound really rude, but I'm going to say it as lovingly as I can, you're a fool. There. But I say it because I care, like I really want God's word to shape me. And not just so it can shape me, so I can hear it stand here and spout something at you. I want to be in our midst saying, come on, grab it, get it in here. When we're at work this week in the lunchroom or in the wherever we might be in the student cafeteria and we're hearing conversation, what are we surrounding ourselves? Those who walk with the wise will be wise, but those who surround themselves or whose companionship is with fools will come to harm. And this is where God's word takes on life. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't have these today, come and take the effort to make your rings. If you're a guest with us and you want to take them with you, come and grab them, take them with you. Because I want you to know that I care And I want God's word buried in our hearts. For as Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, those who walk with the wise will be wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. God, please, draw us onward. God, if we've stagnated, if we've just locked our feet, if we've taken on this casual, complacent, or even apathetic position, God, if we have abandoned our pursuit of you, I pray that you would stir our hearts spirits this morning. I pray, God, those who are walking, I pray that they would renew their strength this morning. Father, I thank you for your word that says as we wait upon you, we will renew our strength. We will mount up on wings as eagles. We will run and we'll not be faint. We will walk and we will not stumble, whichever word that way around that is. But God, I know your word is that we would have life. And so I pray this morning that you would stir us on by your Spirit to take a hold of life, to take a hold of truth, and to see your purposes worked in us, that we might be people who, as we learn and gain and gather wisdom and understanding, we would inspire others to walk it with us. Lord, please bless us with this. Keep us in this. Turn your face to us and let us know your delight over this. Be gracious to us as we try it and stumble and get back up. And Lord, may we know the counsel of your Spirit, the light of your countenance lifted upon us, and may we walk in your peace. Let your peace wash over us. Let your peace renew us. That God, you are not a tyrant, and God, though in this I may come across as one, I pray, God, you're not a tyrant who's driving us, but you draw us on with truth. But let your peace guard us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you haven't started, please grab the passages. Start this week as we learn what it is to embrace truth, walk in wisdom. God bless you. Forgive me if you need to forgive me. And see you soon.